You need to know that Jesus Christ, again, is your Lord and your Savior, that you then can be adopted into the family of God, that you have certainty. There's now no guilt in life, no fear in death. You will never die. You cannot lose. Why? Because you belong to Jesus Christ, and therefore you are a part of the family of God.
Everyone, we are glad to have you here today at Live in the Light. Today we are back in 2 Peter chapter 1 with a message called Every Reason to Believe. We want to equip you with the truth to defend your faith. Again, Peter's goal in this passage is to reinforce truth, strengthen faith, and encourage hearts. Do you need some encouragement today? Do you need some scripture to help you back up what you say you believe? If you are in need of a spiritual boost, this is your message. Friend, Christian, you can be confident when it comes to the Word of God because it is complete, perfect, without error, totally reliable. The truth that we have in our hands is the foundation of our lives, and you can take that to the bank. If you want to learn more about what Scripture says about itself, turn in your Bible to 2 Peter chapter 1, and we will get right to it. Here is Pastor Robbie with today's message called Every Reason to Believe.
And so based off the context of Peter reminding, again, in the verses that preceded our passage today, you want to be reminded of something, be reminded of Jesus Christ and His majesty is about to be seen in glory. He is about to return. The message of the majesty of Jesus is true. Number two, the message of Scripture is even more sure. Look at verse 19 now. And we have the prophetic word more fully confirmed. Wow. To which you will do well to pay attention as to a lamp shining in a dark place until the day dawns and the morning star rises in your hearts. Now, these verses are packed in verse 20 and 21. We'll get there in just a moment as well. But notice the beginning of verse 19. Peter says, following up the message of the majesty of Jesus, and we have the prophetic word more fully confirmed. What does that mean? What an interesting phrase. We have the prophetic word more fully confirmed. Essentially, we believe what Peter is saying here is this. Scripture ranks higher than experience. Scripture ranks higher than experience. Now, as incredible and as life-changing the account of the glory of Jesus was at the Transfiguration, what Peter is saying here by the Holy Spirit himself is Scripture is even more confirmed. God has given us the Scriptures. The Scriptures are complete, permanent, authoritative. The Scriptures contain the revelation, the full revelation of God regarding salvation. The Bible is 100% reliable. Why? Because God wrote a book. And listen right here. This book, this is the one tangible gift the Lord has given to his church. The Holy Spirit wrote this. We can feel and touch it. This is the book of books. This is the message of life. This is the pathway to salvation. We do not worship the book. We worship the Messiah revealed in the book. And so Peter is saying, and we have the prophetic word even more fully confirmed. Peter is saying here, he's saying, listen, I can tell you of my experience, yet the Scriptures are even more sure. Astounding and awesome and encouraging. So what we need to do right now, two loved ones right here, this is such a big deal. We need to take a bit of a spiritual time out in this message right now. And we need to understand what God is saying to us right now about his word. Like that's what's happening in this text. The Holy Spirit's like, hey, let me tell you how strongly I feel about the Bible. Let me tell you, I wrote the book. I used human authors to do so, but I am very, very passionate again about my word because I inspired the Bible. The Bible is without error. The Bible is sufficient. The Bible is certain. The Bible is reliable. The Bible is indestructible, proven over 2,000 years already. Really what God is saying to us today is like, you could have been there to hear the voice of the Father. You could have been, that would have been awesome. That would have been awesome. But he's like, but I've given you something more certain, more reliable, written down that you can feel and touch and read every day. This is what God is saying about his own word. It's all we need. Remember in 2 Peter 1 in verses 3 and 4, his divine power, his divine promises, his precious promises. Those two things are used for us to become more increasingly his divine nature. And the word of God is such a big deal. God has an incredibly high view of his own word, obviously, because he wrote it. There's many, many passages we can turn to. One is Psalm 19. Love this passage on the doctrine of the word of God. Look at how God explains and verifies his word. The law of the Lord is perfect. It is perfect. It is without error. The law of the Lord, again, is absolutely certain. It is used to revive the soul. It is used to revive the soul. The law of the Lord is sure. That's such a great cross-reference for our text today. It is again, certain, dependable, reliable. It is certain and sure. It makes wise the simple. The law or the precepts of the Lord are right. All these words are just synonyms, again, for the word of God. The precepts of the Lord are right. It is straight. You can bet your life on it. It is trustworthy. It rejoices the heart. The commandment of the Lord is pure. Integrity, again, without error, enlightening the eyes. This is how the Lord views his word. How do we view the Bible? How big a deal this is, the beauty and the power and the certainty, again, of the very word of God. It is trustworthy, reliable, straight, never crooked, blameless, and complete. Listen, we have every reason and proof to believe. So therefore, when it comes to the word of God and the scriptures, what Peter now does, based on this foundation, he exhorts us in three main ways on the screen beside me and behind me, a few subpoints in point two. When it comes to the scriptures, number one, pay attention to it. Pay attention to it. Where does that come from? Well, right in the Bible. Look at verse 19. And we have the prophetic word more fully confirmed, to which you will do well to pay attention. Amen? Amen. That's so good. I love that. We say it all the time around here because God says it all the time. What do we say? Get in the word. Get in the Bible. Pay attention to it. We have to if we want to grow in the Lord Jesus Christ. Matthew 4:4, man, Jesus is being tempted in the wilderness. Satan comes up and tempts him. Jesus responds, it is written. I mean, I always love this verse so much. Jesus says, man shall not live by bread alone, but by every word, yes, that comes from, again, the Father. Yes. Man shall live by bread alone, by every word that comes again from the mouth of God. Listen, this is so important. It's just Jesus teaches, like, physical food is important. Spiritual food you cannot live without. You cannot live without. We must pay attention to the book. Pay attention to the Bible. Again, and then Peter says here, to which you would do well. You know what that means? You know what the translation for that is? Essentially, it's this. Do it. That's what he's saying. Like that's a legitimate translation. Do it. You would do well to pay attention. Make a habit of being in the word. I've always loved the quote on the screen. I realized I didn't say this in the first service. I must have been caught up in what I was saying. But here's the quote is this. The Bible that's falling apart usually belongs to someone who isn't. A Bible who's falling apart usually belongs to someone who isn't. You know, Psalm 119 is the Bible's longest psalm by far. It has 176 verses. Out of 176, it is entirely about the word of God in that psalm, the commandments, the precepts of the Lord. Out of 176 verses, 172 of them explicitly and specifically mention in some form or some way the law of God, the word of God, the Bible, the commandments, the precepts of God. 172 out of 176. You think God's sending a message there? And one of the verses he says right here, one of the verses from Psalm 119 says this, I will never forget your precepts, for by them you have given me life. Look at that, church, look at that, look at that, look at that. I will never forget your precepts. Why? Why? Why would I never forget the precepts of God? Because for by them I have life. I find life in the truth of God. I find life in the Bible. I find life in the message within. I find renewal and rejoicing and wisdom and sustenance. This is what God's word does. I need it to exist in the Lord Jesus Christ. Again, listen, it's impossible to effectively follow Christ apart from his word. We need to hear this. We need to hear it all the time, right? Jesus in the high priestly prayer of John chapter 17, one of the most important prayers, again, ushered in the entire Bible. Jesus is praying to the Father. He's praying for for the church. And Jesus says, Father, sanctify them in the truth. Yes, your word is truth. Like, that's pretty important to stop and pay attention to. Jesus takes the time, recorded in scripture, praying to the Father for you and I. And he says, Father, sanctify them, set them apart, grow them in truth, your word. Here's how it happens. Your word is truth. Things we got to pay attention to. Again, hey, listen. Do not get to the end of your life and have to give an account to the Lord. You know, there's many people. There's many believers. This is going to happen, especially in this part of the world. Many, I'll frame it this way. Many believers are going to show up and have to give an account, the stewardship they've been entrusted with before the Lord at the end, and they will show up to the Lord with dust-covered Bibles. This is going to happen for so many. It is happening for so many people. And they'll stand before the Lord, because again, this isn't given an account based on salvation for believers. This is an account based on what did you do with what's been entrusted to you, the opportunity you've been given, the minutes, the time, the giftedness, the resources. The greatest gift God has given to his church tangibly is this book right here. Do not get to the end with a Bible covered in dust. Do you know how hard that's going to be for people? God's like, so I gave you the book. All the instructions were there. It was the source of life. It's the source of encouragement, endurance. It was the message. The Holy Spirit wrote it. So what'd you do with it? Did you use it every day? Like, I gave everything you need right here. All my precious promises were written. Did you read them? Did you study them? Did you memorize them? Did you use them? How many believers will be like, well, you see, social media was kind of got my attention, or that, you know, binge watching was just kind of a whole nother, or my hobby over here, or my pursuit of my education became so much, or I just, well, work really heavy, and they'll get to the end, and they'll be, all the dust will be in their Bible, and the Lord will be like, you had one chance. And we do have one chance, called life. God wrote a book. Remember, I said already, we don't worship the book. Worship the Savior revealed in the book. And we see God's plan for life and strength and joy and power, again, in the Bible. Again, hey, this church is called Hope Bible Church for a reason. Like, we could have easily left out Bible, but we did not, because everything we seek to do is by the word of God and by the Bible. No Bible, no point. This is the point. Pay attention to it. Pay attention to it to bear fruit. Again, but there's more. When it comes to the message of scripture, find light through it. Find light through it is the second subpoint there. Again, verse 19, to which you will do well to pay attention as to a lamp shining in a dark place right there. So notice the role of scripture in our lives. Again, I love when God's word is being so clear to us about the word. One of the roles of God's word is to be a lamp for us in the darkness. So a few weeks ago, the power went out in our neighborhood. Apparently a car like smashed into a pole and the pole fell down and knocked out like hundreds and hundreds of units or homes, wherever it is. And ours was one of them. And he came back. It was kind of later in the evening. And it was one of these evenings where it was also overcast. And so you couldn't even see any moonlight. And I remember, like, it was so weird. I had to go outside and my daughter was babysitting. I had to go give her something. And she was like within walking distance. I remember walking outside. And because it was like an overcast night and there's no lights, it was so dark. I couldn't see anything. It was eerie. Like, still, you know, power goes out. No one's kind of moving around. And I was out there, I'm like, I could barely see in front of me. And I was like, whoa, man, this is kind of, I don't know, eerie. This is one of the only times I was thankful for my phone. So I pulled out my phone and of course it has a flashlight on it. And it's amazing, isn't it? The power of a light to shine in the darkness. Because in that moment, you're able to see the path in front of you and literally make your way so you avoid danger and being hurt, and you're able to see the path and the power of light in the darkness. That's the power of God's word in our lives. It is light in our darkness. It shows us the way forward. It is a lamp in the midst of the darkness of our world. And we need it so much. This is what Peter is saying. Again, he's not hiding anything. It's simple right here. He's just like, listen. Again, pay attention to the word. It is your lamp again in the darkness. The psalmist from Psalm 119 agrees very, very strongly here. Psalm 119, verse 105, you probably know it well. The word is a lamp to my feet and a light into my path. That's very, very encouraging. Let's just take this. One of the ways you want to study scripture is just, here's the truth. Now let's look at that conversely, reverse it. Without the word, I have no lamp in the darkness. No word, no light. No word, no chance. This is where so many people and believers, they're in the, our world is dark, man. Our world is dark. It is messed up. Lies everywhere, danger everywhere, deception everywhere. So many believers are just feeling themselves around in the darkness. They can't see where they're going. They say, because the Bible's closed. And I just say, what are you doing? Open your Bible. Churches, what are you doing? Open the Bible. Pastors, what are you doing? Open the Bible. Preach the word. Preach the word. Preach the word. Like today, stop going like this in the darkness all the time, smashing into things. Open the truth. Let it shine light upon your path. You may see where you're going. Again, this is the part for me that drives me crazy, as you can tell. You get to the end, God's like, why didn't you open the word? It's the lamp in the darkness. Why didn't you open the word? And it's like, well, what answer do we give at that point? Well, you weren't clear. Oh, he's clear today. He's clear today. Every single person here, Overflow, Orangeville, whoever's listening right now, he's clear today. The word of God, the Bible, written by the Holy Spirit, is a lamp unto our darkness. Again, I say this all the time to church, 20 plus years now. I do not read the Bible for a check mark. I don't read the Bible so God will like me more. Give me a break. I don't read the Bible as a chore. I read the Bible because it's life and it's light. I have to live, and so do you. God, help us. God, help us in this massively foundational importance and encouraging understanding. So, well, how long do I have to do this? Well, look back at verse 19. Pay attention to the lamp shining in a dark place until the day dawns and the morning star rises in your hearts until Jesus Christ returns. That's how long, church. That's how long. You pay attention to the word and you see light through it until the Lord Jesus Christ returns when he comes in his glory and you're like, there he is. I knew it. Living for him, being filled by him. It's just awesome. Another reference to the return of Jesus Christ. When it comes to the scriptures, pay attention to it, find light through it. And lastly, the Holy Spirit inspired it. The Holy Spirit inspired it. So verses 20 and 21 are some very, very important verses as to the doctrine of the inspiration of the word of God. Very, very important. You want to pay attention to these very, very carefully. They should be underlined, highlighted, circled, asterisked, whatever you need to do, do something to make sure you know these verses are here. Verse 20, knowing this first of all, interesting he says that, isn't it? That no prophecy of scripture comes from someone's own interpretation. This is not by the will of man or humanity. Verse 21, for no prophecy was ever produced by the will of man, but men spoke from God as they were carried along by the Holy Spirit. So Peter is clearly stating here, scripture is determined by God, not man. Right here, it's right in front of us. No prophecy was ever produced by the will of man. So man did not decide what scripture was. Humanity did not get around and decide what scripture was. Rather, notice the text says right here, men spoke from God as they were carried along by the Holy Spirit. Beautiful, beautiful. Verb carried along here is the same word used in Acts 27, describing a ship being moved along in the wind. So Peter's saying here is that the human authors who were cooperating with God, again, in the writing of scripture, they set their sails and the wind of the Holy Spirit came and filled their sails and moved them in the direction that they were to go. So it wasn't their initiative. It wasn't their doing. They were not in control. The origin of scripture is God. Now listen, at the same time, what we're seeing here in the text, the Bible is a theanthropic book. Say theanthropic, what does that mean? Two base words, theos, God, anthropos, man. The Bible's origin is God. He chose to work through human authors to write it. Right here in our text, men spoke, anthropos, from God, theos. God originated scripture and used human authors and many of them to accomplish this indestructible, inerrant, fully inspired Bible that we hold in our hands right now. But we're learning here, this wasn't human authors as robotic dictation. It wasn't like here that they're getting every word, writing it down, next word, next word, next word. This was an active cooperation as only the Holy Spirit can produce. God is in charge, man. God got it done. The Holy Spirit carried them along. Again, the book we hold is astoundingly powerful and wonderful and beautiful because the Holy Spirit wrote it. And that is why, just to kind of end our message here today, I want to encourage you with some kind of apologetics in terms of the Word of God. This is why the Bible has been indestructible ever since it was written. This is why the Bible has suffered more vicious attacks than any other book in history, yet it has withstood all its attackers. This is why the Bible has been subject to destruction, yet is the most widely published book in the world today by far. Critics regard the book as mythological, yet archaeology has established it as historical. Skeptics have cast doubt on its authenticity, yet more people are convinced of its truth today than ever. Attacks continue to come from all over, science, psychology, politics, yet the Bible remains undaunted. I just want to kind of finish today with a couple of quotes that really, really encourage me. First one's by Bernard Rahm on the screen for you. He says this, 1,000 times over, the death knell of the Bible has been sounded. That's so true. 1,000 times over, the funeral procession formed, the inscription cut on the tombstone, and the committal read, but somehow the corpse never stays put. Amen? Amen. I heard one preacher say many years ago, the Bible always seems to rise up and outlive its pallbearers. Always. The Bible always rises up to outlive its pallbearers. A final quote I want to share with you. H.L. Hastings said this, when the French monarch proposed a persecution of the Christians in his dominion, an old statesman and warrior said to him, sire, the church of God is an anvil that has worn out many hammers. So the hammers of the infidels have been pecking away at this book for ages, but the hammers are worn out and the anvil still endures. If this book had not been the book of God, men would have destroyed it long ago. Emperors, popes, kings, priests, princes, and rulers have all tried their hand at it, but they die and the book still lives. Amen. Amen. Anyway, everyone want to clap for that. Amen. And this is why Jesus said, heaven and earth will pass away, but my word will never pass away. Listen, because God wrote a book. And when God writes a book, number one, it's a bestseller. And number two, it'll never be destroyed ever. How many people have predicted, in my generation, the Bible will be gone, 100 years, Bible will be gone. No, they die, and here we are, and the book and the Bible and the Word of God continues to reach millions and millions and billions and billions of people across this world because God has ensured it. So today, what Peter is doing, he's using a form of apologetics. He's defending, again, truth against attackers. But the message is profound. I want to speak just a couple of people here today as we conclude. Number one, the message of the majesty of Jesus is true. It's true. His glory is real. His kingship is awesome. He is soon going to return in his glory to gather all those who belong to him. Secondly, the message, again, of Scripture is even more sure. I want to just be as clear as I can today as well. You're here right now. You're here right now. The message of Jesus is true. Have you ever in your life fully embraced Jesus Christ as Lord and Savior? I'm speaking to those here today. I'm not asking if you know some things about Jesus. I'm not asking if you know people who love Jesus. I'm not asking if you know some facts or you can even say some memory verses. I'm not asking if you've been to church a bunch of times. I'm not asking if you're like, well, I'm not that religion over here, so I must be over here. I'm saying, do you have an actual personal relationship with the Lord Jesus Christ? If you died today, do you know where you go? Like 100%. If you died today, is there any fear in death? Do you know where you're headed? Do you know? Do you know Jesus Christ? Again, I'm not talking, do you have knowledge of him in your head? Is he actually impacted your heart? Is there fruit in your life? Is today the day, for the first time ever, you give your life to the Lord Jesus Christ? You recognize the message of Jesus living a perfect life is true. The message of Jesus dying on the cross for your sins and mine is true. The message of Jesus being raised from the dead, defeating death forever and Satan, again, is true. You believe that Jesus Christ is the only one who can cleanse you by the washing of his blood, again, over you, washing your sins away. You believe that Jesus Christ is King and Lord and Savior. I appeal to you today here, Overflow Orangeville. What are you waiting for? Do you know that you know that you know today that you are in relationship with the Lord Jesus Christ? Will you not give your life by believing in Jesus Christ, not by works, but receiving the gift of grace by faith in him today that you might live forever? He is returning soon. Are you ready? He's returning soon. Where will you go? You need to know that you know that you know today that Jesus Christ, again, is your Lord and your Savior, that you then can be adopted into the family of God, that you have certainty. There's now no guilt in life, no fear in death. You will never die. You cannot lose. Why? Because you belong to Jesus Christ, and therefore you are a part of the family of God. This is accessed by believing. By believing in everything you just heard, I implore you today, as Paul says, be reconciled to the Lord Jesus Christ. Give your life to him today. I just want to take a moment. I want to bow our heads. I just want to be still. And I just want to, again, speak to those people that the Holy Spirit is speaking to you today very, very directly. Today is the day of salvation for you. Today is the day where you give your life once and for all to Jesus Christ. If that is you today, then you can pray with me right now. Jesus Christ, I believe that you are the Son of God. I believe that you came to live a perfect life. I believe you are the Lamb of God to die for my sins, to be the sacrifice in my place. I believe, Lord, you are the King of kings and the Lord of lords. You rule over all. I believe you were raised from the dead, thereby defeating death. And I believe as I put my trust in you, then I too will be given resurrected life. Jesus Christ, would you save me? Jesus Christ, would you allow me to be adopted into your family, the family of your Father? Jesus Christ, I want to know assurance of salvation that if I died today, I am straight into your presence. Jesus, this life is you. My purpose is you. My joy is you. My glory is you. Again, everything is found in Jesus Christ. Jesus, you are Lord. You are my Savior. I pray, save me, set me free today. We pray this in Jesus' name.
That's all for today. Hope you can join us again next time on Live in the Light.
If you have prayed that prayer with me today, and it is sincere, then the Bible says, if you call upon the name of the Lord, you shall be saved. And I pray there's many here today. Do not wait, child. Do not wait. Give your life to Jesus today. Give your life to Jesus today, and it'll be the best decision you've ever made. No regrets. Yes, Lord, we pray that you are truly moving and saving people in our midst today. Only you can do it. We cannot. We cannot argue people into the faith. The wind blows, the Holy Spirit, and the wind blows where it wishes. We cannot control you, but we ask that you would be moving in a wonderful, beautiful way right now. We love you, Lord Jesus. We believe in you, Lord Jesus. We serve you, Lord Jesus. And we cannot wait for your return, Lord Jesus. May this song of response be so beautifully applied to our hearts, as there's so much truth connected to what we've heard today. We pray this in Jesus' name.
Hey, if you're looking for more Bible teaching, we have many of Pastor Robbie's previous Live in the Light messages available for you to listen to at any time on our website, liveinthelight.ca. We also have our daily program in podcast form, so you can listen easily on the go or hanging out at home. If you have any questions about who we are or want to share a story about what God is doing in your life, we would love to hear from you. Give us a call at 1-844-22-LIGHT or use the contact page on our website. Catch you next time here at Live in the Light. I wanna be-